Welcome, everybody, to episode 36 of Talk with Jordan Hightech on the Low. Amos, how are you this morning?
I'm fine. Great.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you for coming and joining us.
After such a good welcome and a coffee, no problem.
Well, I'm glad that we're able to do that. We don't do it for everyone, you should know. Well, kind of. But anyways, so we're very excited to have you here on Talk with Jordan Hightech on the Low, sponsored by Front Team, where we have 12 communities, 6 verticals, and 3,000 people in the high-tech ecosystem all waiting to network with you. And today, you know, what we're going to talk to is really those entrepreneurs, because we're going to talk about the big bucks, if you will, which is talking about investments, right?
We call it the secret bucks.
The secret bucks. Oh, I like. Okay, we're going to have to dive into that.
Exactly.
And, you know, one of the things that what's going to be very important for us today, we're kind of getting on this theme right now in the podcast series, is trying to understand how you get money, right? Because everyone wants to know it, right? It's whether it's sales, whether it's biz dev, whether it's funding, whether it's investments, we're all trying to figure out how to get it. And, you know, when I approached you, I know you now for a few years now, and I kind of understand who you are, and obviously I've seen your business activities and stuff. I wanted to talk to you because I thought it would be a great understanding of what it's like to be on the other side of the funding table as an angel investor, right? Being that person who is listening to people pitch you ideas, often early stage, often without a lot of basis, and, you know, having that understanding to kind of decide whether or not this is a good business proposal or not. Now, what I think is going to be very interesting in this talk, based on what we were just talking about, is how you yourself frame yourself as an angel investor. So, Amos, please introduce yourself for the people at home, and let's start getting into everything.
Okay, so a little bit background.
Okay.
I'm not go too far.
Okay.
But I used to live about 15 years in Asia, meaning from Japan, China, Hong Kong, Australia, New Zealand, you name it. I worked there for a company called ECI Telecom.
Okay.
I was the representative of the company. When I started, actually, we had zero sales. In 3 or 4 years, I approached about $60 million a year. Mm-hmm. Then I moved permanently to live in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
The year after was $120 million sales. The year after, $180. Altogether, after 15 years, it's over $2 billion sales, which I built myself together with the team, of course. I had offices all over Asia. And I came back to Israel on the year 2000 with my family,
mm-hmm.
to manage the operation, the ECI Telecom, totally all over the world, $1.3 billion one-year sales.
Wow.
And then in 2001, the company decided to make a change, internally change in the company, split the companies, etc. I decided this is something that's going to kill the company. Unfortunately, I was right. The company went down. And then I started some kind of a small business at that time for a couple of years. Was not a big success. And then in the year 2005, 2006, I decided to become an angel. At that time, nobody called it an angel, just an investor.
Uh-huh.
I invested in the first company, and then we sold them for $140 million to IBM. And then the second company I invested was a company called Kenshu,
okay.
Which I invested the first money in the company in 2006 in my house, June 2006. Today, the company is a billion-dollar company.
I was going to say, is that Kenshu that I know?
It's the Kenshu that sits not far away from where we sit now.
Okay.
We were, the three entrepreneurs came to my house, and they said to me something very simple. They said, we believe that in the future, advertising on the internet will be a big story. And I looked at them and said, you know what? I agree with you. What do you need? We need $50,000. We need $500,000. We need somebody to invest the first one in order to
get
make the others,
right,
to
exactly.
make the others.
Uh-huh.
And then I invest my $50,000 in the company. And then I approached other investors. We collected $550,000. Value of company is Kenshu was $1 million.
Uh-huh.
You can imagine.
Uh-huh.
And that's it. And that's the beginning of the story. The year and a half later on, then Sequoia invested in the company.
Amazing.
And then from that time on, the company was running and running.
It just kept developing itself, of course.
The CEO of the company was one of my employees in ECI, so I knew him very well. He's still the CEO of the company.
Wow.
He's a great guy.
That's amazing continuity.
Yes,
wow.
Yes. Yoav Izar is a great guy, great CEO. Great man.
We got to get him on this show next. That's what we got to do.
If you manage, you would be a very happy man. I'm sure.
I'm talking to you. You have to manage it for me. There you go.
It's okay. He's a great guy. We're still in very close contact. I was 6.5 years in the board of the company.
Okay.
And then the company grew too much for me. And it's only, you know, board meeting and things like that. But during that time, I invested in a few more companies. I'm jumping just for the last couple of years. The last couple of years, I decided to join two small VCs, one called Moneta VC, which I'm a small partner there.
Sure.
And company is very successful.
Okay.
The VC is very successful. Invest mostly in funding of insurtech.
Okay.
And fintech.
Very cool.
And the other group called Cyrus, which invest mostly in B2B companies. That's it. In between.
That's it. That's it. That's okay. Enough. Easy. Right. Enough. You don't need to go into that too much. Right. You know, just had a few little, you know, things around the way in your life. You're okay. Right.
That's it. You know, in between. Yeah. Just volunteer in many organizations.
Very good.
Giving on my own time for children, for women, for women entrepreneurs. Much more than most of the time that I needed.
You're a renaissance businessman, it sounds like. A little bit of investing, a little bit of entrepreneurship, helping these people, helping that people, different industries. It's amazing.
That's the only reason for living, for life. That's it. If you don't do for the community, you actually do nothing. Only for yourself. If you look only on yourself, it's something that I'm not like that. And I see that my family are the same. My sons, my daughters, my wife, definitely. So,
Let's kind of look at that then. Is that how you kind of try to frame your angel investing? Is that where you come from? You know, this idea of if you're helping the community, I'm more likely to invest, or how does it work?
It goes together.
Okay.
In parallel, I would say. Investing is making yourself, making with your money something that will be success for yourself, for your family, because no angel invest money in order to lose the money. Okay,
well, of course.
Most of the people think that's the reason why people invest,
right.
But it's not.
Right.
You know, we are business people. Okay, so when I invest a dollar, I expect to have 10 or 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000.
Right.
It doesn't
matter.
Okay, but sometimes I see the startups all over the world are thinking that those who made a few millions in the past can spend $1, $2, or $3 million, lose the money just for that. No, nobody wants to lose money. Nobody invests money in order to lose. We are coming here to make money. Yes, I give money. I contribute money to organization where I know that it helps the community. This is something else. This is not investment.
No, but okay? I'm not talking about in donating or anything like that. That's all well and good. I donate too, right? But I'm talking about when you're choosing to invest, let's say, what are your priorities as an angel investor that you're looking at? And we can even say just as an investor in general, because you're also on these boards of the VCs. But, you know, let's say as almost the individual, what are the things that you are, you know, kind of focused on when you have someone who comes to you and says, hey, give me money?
Okay. First of all, let's spread the time. Okay. When I started, actually, I looked around me and ask for people, and people start to approach me. You know, they didn't know me, so I approached them, they approached me.
Sure.
So I just looked around. I was not sure exactly what I want to do.
Okay.
During the years, I start to focus myself. For instance, I never invest in something which related to medical equipment, because I don't understand. And
it's not your field, so you don't want to invest in it, right? Yeah, it's very good investing advice. You know, if you don't understand it, don't invest.
It's even more than that. Invest in something that you understand, then you can help the company that you invest in.
Ah.
Because if I invest money in a company which I understand nothing in what the company is doing, and I don't understand the methodology, I don't understand the area, I don't understand the whatever they want to do, so I'm just throwing the money in the middle of the street. Okay, pick it up. Maybe sometimes you can make from that the money. But in my case, I would say 5% of the cases, I invested money in companies which I could understand exactly where they are going to. Okay.
Well, that's a very interesting point right there, too. It's like, in a sense, don't approach the investor on the subject that he doesn't understand. Otherwise, you're not going to get it.
No, sometimes you don't know that I understand or not.
Okay.
So you can't know that, and especially when you're talking the big shots, not myself. Okay. The big shots have their consulting people around them. Mm. So maybe they don't understand, but they have a group of people working with them that they can understand exactly. And maybe in that case, they will invest. Okay?
Sure, but that you know
that's
ahead
another
of time.
Story.
Yeah,
that's another story. Different. When you're talking about an individual investor like myself, and there are quite a few like that in the world, I think that each and every one of them see what they invest before, what they are looking for, what are interest. Okay? And you can approach an angel once you know what he has done in the past. So if I invested in Kenshu at that time, it's not because I knew that Kenshu is going to be like that. I expected, but I didn't know. But what I invest in the last couple of years, it's another story. Like going to Moneta was a very, I would say, very interesting point to get into fintech, because I felt at that time that fintech is going to be the king of the world in the next couple of years.
Okay.
And fortunately, I was right, because some of the companies that we invest, which I invest in person, and Moneta invest as well, are very successful.
Okay.
And you can see that. So again, coming back to the entrepreneurs which are looking for angel, look what they've done, where they are, and try to look around what people say about it. What people say about this angel.
Right.
Okay.
Well, so I want to go into this point too that you're bringing up too. And I think, and we kind of talked a little bit about it before the interview, right? Which is, you know, understanding the angel beyond the term of angel investor, right? Beyond the term of the money.
That's why I call it the black box. Okay.
Great that we're in the black box studio. So let's go talk to us.
Something like that. Okay. Exactly. So the black box of the angel is something that have this, what is in the public.
Okay.
But what is not in the public is among friends. Meaning, if you want to approach me, not via email like most of the people doing, and I simply do not understand what they want from me.
Okay.
Because in general email. But if I get an approach from somebody that I know.
Okay.
And he says, I must look at this startup or company, sometimes with sales. Yes, in that case, I will look inside. And then, even if it's not exactly what I do, but I looked at that deeply, I can learn it very quickly. I know how to learn about the new idea that I see in front of my eyes.
Of course.
And then I meet with the people. And here we come to the angel way of thinking, the black box.
Okay.
I think most of the angels in the world are investing in the people and not in the object. Not in the startup itself.
Really? You don't think they look at the solution more than the team?
I think the team is 75% and 25% is the solution. Because the solution, you can change the people we cannot change. Meaning, if I see...
Like, if you don't like me as the head of this product, no matter if the product is amazing, if you don't like me, if you don't think I'm the one taking it forward...
I don't hear you anymore.
Right.
I simply don't. I sit in the room, but I don't hear you. My mind is definitely in other place. Even I will be in the room.
Okay.
But if the other way around, I did invest in people which I thought they have a very good potential for the future, and maybe they will do some kind of a change in the way the company is managed. Maybe we'll find another product for the company.
Maybe you'll have to pivot or whatever. Yeah.
Pivot we do a lot.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes it's a total change. Sometimes a pivot in the product itself.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But the team itself, which means when I say team, I mean at least it has to be two or three people which coming. And why I say the team? Because I don't invest. I never invest in a company which is a one-man show.
Okay.
Never.
Well,
in my mind, I think it's useless. Because it has to be in a teamwork. Nobody can be everything, okay?
Right.
So when I look at him, I see, first of all, the way the team talk to each other, okay? Because sometimes I see very much, in many cases, I saw where there is no much of respect between each other.
And you already
there is a competition inside.
And you already see the cracks kind of starting to form a little bit, okay?
Like, be quiet.
Yeah.
Take to somebody.
I know what you're talking
kicking
about.
Kicking with the leg. They think that I don't see, but I see. I think like that. this is something that is very important because it's early stage. It's the beginning of the company. Even they have sales. But if they cannot look manage, like that, right, it's going to blow up later on. It happens. Mm. It happens to me too. I didn't say no. It happens because I'm not something that I can see inside.
It's okay.
But in most of the cases, this is number one. And I think most of the angels do the same thing. Look at the people, the way they act, the way they understand.
Let me ask you just real fast on that. Have you ever been pleasantly surprised, let's say, by like a product that you were kind of like, I don't know about the product, but I love the team. And so you kind of went on it just on the team sense, and then it turned out to be something incredible?
Let's look at this. 75, as I said, percent of the case is the team itself. Mm-hmm. And the product is less. Because the product, when I see it in the very early stage, definitely it's not going to be what the product is going to be in the market.
Sure. Okay? Of course.
So
ideally,
so
let's hope.
it's quite clear. So, but the team, if they're a good team, they can do not only change the pivot on the product itself, they can make another product that will be successful later on, okay, with the money they get. And I saw that. Mm. I've been there, mm-hmm, okay, in cases like that. So coming back to the team is number one, without any doubt. The product itself, whether I understand it or I don't understand it, doesn't matter, really. Because if I understand it, it's, as I said, I myself invested all or most of my investment were in product that I do understand.
Okay.
And especially not only understand, I understand how, again, remember that I said to you before, my DNA is a salesman.
Okay.
That's it. I looked at everything, really, everything, how I can sell it at the end of the day.
Okay.
Okay. If I see that I will be able, if the product will be mature and good, and I can, as a salesman, take this product and sell it to somebody, mm-hmm, to a company, to a group, whatever, then it's, from my point of view, it's successful. Because I don't look into the bits and bytes inside the product, because in most cases, I don't understand.
Right, it's not your thing. That's not what you're there for. Yeah, I understand what that means.
It's always, I give an example about a mobile phone. Okay? Get me a mobile phone. Really? I don't understand how it works internally.
Sure. Technically speaking, you're lost.
But if I take the phone, I will be able to get out of the phone more than the one who actually created the phone. Mm. Because I understand how to use it. Okay? And that's exactly the same with a company. When I see the team and I see the work and I see the vision and I see the product and I see in my eyes, how do I approach with this product to a customer in Germany or a customer in New Zealand or a customer in Canada, I can imagine it. I know how to imagine it. I know how to take it. I know how to color it and how to approach the customer and say, hey, dear customer, this is good for you. And this is something that customer is willing to pay. And that's the way I looked at the thing. I'm not sure that every angel is doing like that, but in my point of view, that's the only thing which I care.
But I think that, you know, you bring up a very interesting point, which is kind of like understanding, and it's kind of like what you said before, which is understanding who your angel investor is as a person, right? You come from the sales world, the operations world, the big world of this. You've done it for, what, decades? So in a sense, like, you know, if I come to you, I almost need to talk to you in that way, and you are thinking in that way. Like, can I sell this? Can I get this to someone? What is John in New Zealand thinking, right? Whereas maybe someone else like me, for example, I'm a marketer and a content guy. Can I market this to people? Is this marketable? Are people going to want this? Are people going to even want to listen to the story I can tell about this? Is there a storytelling capability? There's so many facets, but it's so true because it's saying, listen, the investor is a person. You need to talk to that person. In the end, they are an investor. They made their money doing business. So they understand it to a certain degree.
This is number one. All you said is right. And number two, because I invest the money, I have all the passion to make this successful. So
100%.
So sometimes even more than the guys themselves, okay? Because if I invest in a company $500,000, I don't want to lose my money. The only thing I want is to make sure that this $500,000 become something big.
Turns half a billion, you know? There you go.
It doesn't matter. Something big, okay? Call it something big, okay? And for that point of view, sometimes it happens to me that I invest in the company.
Okay.
And then the CEO or the entrepreneurs said, okay, we don't need you anymore. I said, guys, are you stupid? If I invested money in the company, use me. Use me as much as you can. Okay. Because it's my money there. But then they become the smart guys who knows exactly everything and knows all the solution by themselves and no need my experience. Only they need my money.
Well, that's when they say stay humble, right? You know.
Yes, exactly. And I see that not on me, but I see on a lot of my friends, angels, who came out or took themselves out of the market just because of the entrepreneurs. Because the entrepreneurs, yes.
They were just like, it's not worth it to invest anymore.
He said, no, because these entrepreneurs do not listen. We are coming with a gray hair, okay? We have the experience. We have 20 years, 30 years experience in marketing, in sales, in every area. Even if we are a lawyer investing, we have investment meeting a lot of people in the field.
And
what questions, what they ask, what they know.
Sure.
We can give you this information. But if you making me as a useless, okay, I need you only for your money, that's a big mistake.
Well, other than the fact that it's just kind of insulting the person, it actually
forget
is a
about
that.
Insulting. I'm not the person who gets insulted. Okay, but I put money in the company in order to make business. You are there in order to make business. It's a mutual interest. So why don't you use me? Because I give you advice. Okay. So in most of the companies that I invested, I was a chairman, an active chairman.
Okay.
Not decoration. Chairman,
right.
Active chairman. Active chairman meaning I'm sitting in the board, but also with the CEO or the management of the company and advise them what I think. I don't replace the CEO, okay? Never. I let the CEO run the company. If I want to replace the CEO, then it's a board meeting, and then we decide that the CEO is not suitable or not capable to do the job. But generally speaking, I'm not.
But how do you balance that, let's say? Because I think that's a very interesting point you bring up, right? Is like how, you know, to both kind of be the angel investor on the board who wants to have a say and wants to kind of guide the company into a good trajectory, but at the same time also kind of know how to take the back seat and say, okay, do what you guys do best because this is your idea and this is your product and this is your company. How do you balance that?
Let's say like this. It's not easy. Definitely not for the management of the company.
Sure.
Because looking at that, okay, he is not part of the company, but on the other hand, he's part of the company because he invested money. Especially when talking big money, when you invest $5,000 in company, it doesn't matter. But if you invest $100,000 or $1 million or $500,000 or $200,000, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It's a big money.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you have to keep the balance. It very much depends on the angel itself. Okay. Again, I'm lucky, I can say on myself, which I don't like usually to say, but that most of the company that I work, if not all of the company, we always kept a very good relations. I never stepped on somebody's legs.
Right, okay.
Because except one case I remember that we throw out the CEO of the company because he was, I don't mention the name, so I can
sure,
say.
Sure, we don't have to go down that road.
No, I can say he was a very stupid guy, okay? He all the time he fight with the board, okay? But the board is here not to fight with. The board is here to help you.
Right.
And
so if you're butting heads, you're already losing. Okay.
Because at the end of the day, the board is the decision maker.
Right.
It's
not
the CEO.
Right.
It's not the CEO. And sometimes people forget about it
because
we are at the board. We have the power to say the CEO, bye guy, even if you're a part of the company.
Well, that's also, I think, something important for entrepreneurs to kind of take, you know, as also something to understand that no matter what, whoever, in a sense, you're bringing into the company, whether it's an investor or not, you also have to know, is this the type of investor you want? Now, also, because we're kind of getting near towards the end of the podcast, I want to ask you, you know, and I think this is very valuable for people listening. What is like the number one thing as almost the angel investor that you see entrepreneurs do time and time again that you are like, this needs to stop now?
I don't understand exactly what you mean. What do you mean to stop now?
I mean, let's say, you know, entrepreneurs...
In a meeting?
Let's say entrepreneurs, I'm sure you've gone to dozens, hundreds of meetings in your life, and probably as an angel investor even more than that. I'm trying to ask, what are some of the things that you have seen, you know, that are probably not very good that entrepreneurs are doing that kind of maybe deter you from actually investing or deter other people from investing, maybe if it's not you or it's your friends who you're in the room with? So I'm saying, is there maybe that one thing that you're like, all entrepreneurs need to stop doing this immediately?
When you see that the entrepreneurs actually do not listen, just say, just talk, okay? The other side, they looked only on one thing. On my wallet, okay? You sit in a meeting and you see that they're looking, metaphorically, of course.
Of course, of course.
On my wallet. Okay. That's the only thing they care. This, will this guy put his $2,000 or $500 or whatever $1,000 in my company or not? They don't listen what I say. They don't listen to what I think. And you can feel it. You can feel it that the other guys on the other side of the table really do not listen. Okay?
Kind of it's a blowhorn at you. Like they're just announcing their business and you're just there to kind of take it in.
They're talking in the business. Uh-huh. They don't listen. And I see it a lot. And we discuss a little bit about the entrepreneurs, the Israeli entrepreneurs. They are the worst. Really. They don't listen.
Okay.
Okay? Because they are smart guys. Really. I mean it. The smart guys, they are sometimes, in that case, 10 times smarter than myself in their field, but they have no experience worldwide. Okay? In sales, in marketing, etc. Okay? And when we're talking about, and I ask him the question, okay, I understand that you have a very good product. How do you want to sell it? What is your plans? And, oh, we are going to do... No. This is not a plan. Plan. Let me know to understand. Oh, we will... You can understand that this product is so good, everybody will jump and buy it. I said, no. Nobody is buying that just like that. Okay? Even Amazon has to push. Even Coca-Cola is still pushing themselves in the market.
Of course.
So you can't. So this is number one. The second thing is, the other thing is, we come to a meeting, your presentation, for instance, in our case, in Hebrew, not in English. Okay? And you want to be an international company. It could be in Germany. We would do it in German, but you don't do it in English. Or you do it in Chinese, if you want to, Chinese investors. So you have to understand exactly what is your aim and what is your market. Number two, which is a big mistake after the first two, one, or number three, is that you don't understand your competition. You don't know the competition. I said
that one seems like a huge one, to be honest. Everyone kind of says that as a major thing that a lot of entrepreneurs do. They just don't understand their competition. They think, oh, we're the best. You know,
I was sitting last week with three mature guys, not at the age of 20,
not
the age
me,
of 40.
Okay.
Over 40s, experienced people. And they present to me a company which is very nice. Understand it's the idea is very nice. And I asked them what their competition, who are they? And they said, we have one competitor. And then I Googled. And then I found a few more, okay? Because I know how to check
and find
what to find.
Right.
And I came to them and said, okay, how about this company? And how about this company? Oh.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay? And this is also, it's a rule that people have to understand, they have to learn exactly. Because always imagine that the angel who sits in front of you, he is smarter than you, he has the resources better than you, he have people who can do for him the investigation behind the scenes and understand exactly the market better than you understand. Okay? So get ready before the meeting and make it right. And last and not least, when you ask for money, request a reasonable amount of money and explain what you intend to do with the money. It's not to say, I need $3 million. Okay, what is your plan? What you are going to do? $1 million for that, No. There need to be a plan behind. Because you said $3 million. I said, you know what? Okay, cash it. Here is the check. What do you do with that? Oh, I don't have the plan. So how do you expect to do? Why do you say that your company, like another story from last week from Oz, a company wants to get, I think, $3 million.
Uh-huh.
And value of the company is $20 million, they said. I said, okay, what is their ARR? And they said, $20,000.
So where did you get $20 million from?
$20 million, $20,000 last year or this year.
So you had two zeros, basically, and how? You know?
How do you plan to do that?
Okay.
What do you think? That the people who sit in front of you are stupid people? So that's you have to avoid. And you have to concentrate really and make homework much, much better before you meet the angel.
So if I can summarize it sounds, one, do your homework, don't forget the person behind the table, and don't forget to know your industry.
Right. And the people behind the table, those with the money, are not stupid.
There you go.
If they make the money,
that's
definitely they are not.
I think we're going to end right there. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much for coming. This was amazing.
My pleasure as well.
Interesting. So thank you.
Thank you as much.